The Gospel according to Luke. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved himself. Let him save others if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been justly condemned, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So I didn't realize I was out of soap until I was in the shower without soap. And I had known that I was going to be running out, and so I put it on the list. But every time I went to the store, I just seemingly kept forgetting to buy body wash. So that day, I found myself in Walgreens, and I thought, I'll just pick something up. And of course, they didn't have the kind that I like. So there I am in the aisle with the body wash, squeezing the bottles gently, just trying to smell the scent to get, you know, a little flavor for what they smell like. And I'm realizing that I'm not happy with any of them, because none of them are the one. The one that I like is at Target, which is all the way on the other side of town, and I'm here. We have so many choices, don't we? We can stand in an aisle and decide from a whole bunch of options that we have. We decide what we want to eat for breakfast every day, and we can change it up if we want to, or we can keep it the same. We decide how we watch our TV. There's cable, there's Dish, there's Netflix, there's satellite, there's Hulu, there's all of these on-demand options. And then there are bigger choices. There are choices like how we use our money, or where we get health care, or whether or not we'll tend to our bodies and our minds. We choose our values, and we choose if we'll let those values manifest themselves in our lives. We choose where to put a deer stand, although the hunters are probably not here, so I could have left that line out of my sermon. Maybe some of you are. We are free people. So is it like that with God, too? Do we have just all these options in an aisle somewhere where we can decide what we desire for God to be like for us? I would argue that it's not like that. That God has chosen what kind of God we have. So we live in this country where we have a First Amendment that gives us freedom to have opinions and express them, and we can decide if we'll listen up to someone's voice on any given topic. We can even decide what to believe and to what extent we'll practice those beliefs, and we can be here on a Sunday morning without fear that we will be under threat or in harm's way when we leave worship. And many of us believe that that's the case, or should be the case, for everyone. So today, in the life of the church, we celebrate Christ the King, or the reign of Christ. It's more than a metaphor. We're claiming that we have a certain kind of God in Christ Jesus. One God. A King who does what we say he does in the Creed. He sits at the right hand of the Father and he judges the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. You heard it in the Lord's Prayer that we just prayed together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our certain kind of king has a certain kind of kingdom. And we pray for it to come and be revealed among us. So we live in a tension, you and I. who we claim Christ to be and the king that we claim Christ is for us and for the world opens up before us this tension where we live with so many choices, and yet the kind of king, the kind of savior we have in Jesus Christ isn't really one of them. Because God has chosen. We have a certain kind of king in him who has made choices on our behalf. So this is the kind of king we have. A forgiving king. A saving king. A self-sacrificing lamb. A shepherd. Our king is Jesus, who is a crucified king. And Jesus brings with him a certain kind of kingdom. If we examine his story close, we see this from the very beginning. Because the angels declare to the shepherds in the field, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the anointed king. From the beginning, that kingdom he would bring would be both of this world and in this world, born to life in a humble barn and cradled in the arms of his mother, placed in a manger. But also that same ordinary child would bring a heavenly kingdom so close, so that God's nearness could be understood in human terms and on human turf. So this reign, Christ's reign, pulls in the disconnected. And it reaches out to the disenfranchised, the never good enoughs, and the nobodies. This is the kind of king that we worship. And we hear about that kingdom early on in Luke's gospel when Mary responds to the news that she's going to bring her Savior into the world. So she proclaims, "You've cast the mighty down from their thrones, and you've lifted up the lowly, and you've filled the hungry with good things, and you've sent the rich away empty." Christ, our King, brings a reign that is full of social agendas, and it made people angry from the get-go because it messed up the order of things and it jolted the status quo. So as to show God's people that there is so much more in this world than what it seems. Right after Jesus begins his ministry, he publicly speaks for the first time in his own hometown. It's Luke chapter 4, and he reads from the scroll in Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, made me king, to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free." After reading that passage, Jesus rolls up the scroll and says to everyone, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And man, did that make people with choices really angry. This is what happened next. All in the synagogue were filled with rage, and they got up and drove him out of town and led him to the brow of the hill so that they might hurl him off a cliff. What kind of king? The kind of king they wanted to hurl off a cliff. A challenger and an instigator. A king who was concerned with the poor and the blind and the oppressed. This is a rejected king. This is a crucified king. Today before us, we have the cross. It's an odd time of year to hear the story of Jesus' death. Seems to sit better in Holy Week or Lent. But here we have the cross just before we head into the season of Advent. More accurately, we have three crosses. And the king is crucified between two convicted criminals, one on his right and one on his left. I think about those two guys. I wonder what their names were. And I wonder what kind of choices they had made to bring them to such an ending. But did you notice that everybody who was there standing before those three crosses had something to say about Jesus' kingship? It was the leaders who scoffed and said, "He saved himself. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah of God." And then the soldiers mock. "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." They had in their minds what a king was and was not, and clearly this crucified king was not the kind of king that they would choose. But I wonder here at this point, why didn't Jesus save himself? Why didn't he come down from the cross and show everybody that he was stronger and mightier than any king? I think we can find a clue in the conversation that happens next between the two men hanging on their crosses and Jesus himself. So one of the guys follows suit, and he wants him to save him through some kind of power that everybody else was teasing him for claiming to have. Save yourself and us. But the other guy seems to know what it all means. That Jesus was a kind of king that would give up his life for the sake of his kingdom and the ones that he loves. That he would willingly give up his life through a great show of mighty humility and love. But for everyone who is looking for real freedom and real life, Jesus would offer solidarity with the suffering and even the dying. And all this guy wanted to do was be remembered. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. We don't shop for God. We don't have all of the choices in the world of a God that we would like to have created in our image. But instead, we have been created in God's image. We finite and suffering human beings that God loves have been created in a cruciform image. And so my question today is, who rules your life? What kind of God do you have? Who makes or breaks promises that give frame to your existence? Who grants you freedom and allows you to truly live without fear of death or dying? I think lately we've been processing as a society very publicly what is necessary for those who lead among us. We've been thinking and we've been praying about the kind of reign and rule that one should have, or what we would all prefer, what we would desire our kingdom to be like in this world, not only for us, but for everyone. Here's where I find blessing. God decided long ago. God made the choice. And God chose you. God chose life for you. God chose healing for you. God chose strength for you. And God chose courage for you. And we see that in Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't know about you, but it is my default setting to be the king of my own life. I recognize, though, that the freedom that I have when I choose that does not always lead me down the right road. With so many choices, we do choose wrong sometimes. But even in our choosing wrong, there's a gift, because God did not come in Christ as an authoritarian dictator who would crush foreign armies and keep the taxes of Bethlehem low. God came in Jesus as a crucified king who would rule from a place of deep understanding with all the things that you are experiencing now in your human existence. And he chose to go with you. His journey to the cross would become a sign for us that our king would rule from that place, from humility. So Christ is king, but thanks be to God, we don't have a choice. Instead, we are chosen. And in his passion, he took away the choice for us to believe that there's no hope. And he took away the choice for us to believe that it is not possible to live into a better day than the world that we see currently. So even when we find ourselves at the dark or at the bottom or near the end, Jesus says, my dear, today. What kind of king? A king that says, today I will be born among you. And today the scripture has been fulfilled and God's promise is yours in its hearing. And today you are with me in paradise. Thanks be to God.